Once again, I am very glad to see you. I appreciate so much your being here. It is a beautiful day, as has been said, and there's just really nothing better we could be doing than gathering together to worship our great God and Father in heaven. As we come here today to show him our appreciation for all that he's done for us, I'd like for you to focus your attention this morning on this is the second of the lessons that have to do with the matter of how God has designed man. In our first study, we considered the confusion that our culture has right now regarding what it means to be a man or a woman. People are looking for an identity that cannot be found until they are willing to look to the Creator who made them. The only place they're going to find that is in His Word. Our identity is not in our own desires, our desires of sexuality or whatever. You will not find your identity by undergoing some sort of gender reassignment surgery. Our identity is declared in Genesis. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them." So we have God's statement. We are made in the image of God. We are made for different roles. That's something we have to understand. Our identity, as we've said, is declared here in verse 26 and 27. And God said, "Let us make human beings in our image, to be like ourselves. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground." And so God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female, He created them. Being made in the image of God means something. It is very important for us to recognize that our identity is being declared here. This is who we are. We are either male or female. You're made in the image of God. And being made in the image of God means that you are to show God to the world and reflect His glory. We often say as Christians that people in the world ought to see Jesus in us. Everyone should understand that we are made in the image of God and we are to show the world who we are and that we are made in His image. So with this knowledge, we're given meaning. We're given purpose and we're given identity in our lives. Now, what did God give men to do? There is a difference between what God gave men to do and what He gave women to do. I want to talk about for a moment what God gave men to do. In Genesis chapter 2, there's further expression of this particular matter. "Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person, a living being." Here in Genesis 2 and verse 7, as you read that verse, you cannot help but think about who you are. Here is what God says. Three things. He formed man from the dust of the ground. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature, a living soul. But you'll notice God does something with man next. What did He give us to do? In verse 15, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden." To do what? To work and to keep it, or to dress and to keep it. Now think about what God is saying here. He took man, He placed him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. This is telling us something about what God has designed man to do. God designed man to work. Sometimes we think that of this particular work that we have to do as that curse that God leveled upon man, but that's not what the Bible says. Work was not the curse. In Genesis 3 and verse 17, and to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Remember his command. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Now don't misunderstand. God didn't say that work was the curse. God designed men to work. But it is because of what man did made this so difficult. That's where the curse comes in. The curse was that labor that would be painful, as he says here in verse 17. But work has always been the design of man. This body that we look at, the male physique, for example, it's a utilitarian body that's built with the strength to do the kind of work that God designed us to do. Men were not meant to stay at home, laying on the couch, playing video games all day. That's not what God designed us to do, even though this generation seems to think that's the case. They were built by God to go to work, to perform work, labor here on the face of this earth. And the Apostle Paul gave the command for that work, as Kurt read this morning in 2 Thessalonians. He says, now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who's walking in idleness and not according to the tradition that you've received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you. What's Paul talking about? Nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with toil and labor we worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you. God's designed man to work. Paul's saying that these brothers here that weren't working, he's going to say something about that in just a moment. It was not because we do not have the right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. In other places, Paul says, we have the right to present to you the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you compensate us for that. But Paul is setting an example here for these individuals by demonstrating that he is certainly willing to work when it's necessary. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command. If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness. Not busy at work, but busy bodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. If anyone does not obey what we say in this letter, take note of that person and have nothing to do with him, that he may be ashamed. It's not too difficult to figure out Paul's topic here in this passage, is it? God gave man something to do. Here were individuals who were Christians who shouldn't have known better than this, but they were not doing what God wanted them to do. Well, he didn't just stop with man. He gave something for women to do as well. He makes a declaration in verse 18 of Genesis 2, and he says, it's not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him, or a helpmeet, someone suitable for him. So this is what God declares. Adam has been shown all of the animals, and he names them. But in the process of doing that, the conclusion is reached that there is none of those animals that were there would be a helper fit for him. As you look down in verse 20, the man gave names to all of the livestock, to the birds of the heaven, and to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found a helper fit for him. No companion, in other words, who corresponded to him was found. But for Adam there was not found a helper meet, suitable, that is, adapted or complementary for him. Man did not have a counterpart. People today who think they can find a counterpart in some of the animals, even if it is a monkey or whatever, are not paying any attention to what God said when he created man. Man needed a counterpart. He needed someone like himself. He needed a companion who was perfectly suited for him. And this is what God did. He made woman. And the point is, what man lacks, woman accomplishes. And woman as a helper is just right for man. This is crowning work of God's creation. Now, some people seem to think that the idea of helper is demeaning. That's not so. The idea is that she is made to be a complement to man. She is not the same as he in every way, though she is a human being and she is made in the image of God. Adam is shown all of these animals, but there's none of them that even come close to being the counterpart that he needed. Man was made to work and she was made to complement him. And that doesn't mean you're doing a good job, honey. Compliment there means so much more than that. Some of the translators try to help communicate this concept, and that's the reason why he says, I'll make a helper as his complement in one version, or I'll make a companion for him who corresponds to him in another translation. So the point is that what man likes, the woman accomplishes in his life. She's critically important. Being a compliment to him is not demeaning or derogatory in any way. You remember when you went to school, they talked about complementary angles in geometry and things like that. You could take two angles. One of those could be really small, like a 30-degree angle, and then another angle that was larger in order to make a perfect right triangle. But it took two of those angles, whatever size you chose, to make those complementary angles in geometry. But the complementary angle completed that perfect right triangle, or right angle rather. You know, when we get to think about this, we really should understand this. We have movies that talk about it. We have people who will say, you complete me, when they're talking about their spouse. This is the point of this passage. There is nothing demeaning. There's nothing derogatory about it. It is a lovely thing that God has created. It's a wonderful thing. And if there is anything that is derogatory here, it is to the man because he's described as being incomplete without her. God's point is not to be derogatory, but to teach us that we need each other. One is not better than the other. Men are not higher or better than the woman. Women are not better or higher than the man. They are meant to work together, and thus, the ESV reads, the woman was made to fit him, like the piece of a puzzle fits together and completes the whole. So thus, as that puzzle, as we look at it today, understand which piece you are, if you will, and how you complement the other. As we said, woman as a helper is just right for man, but some people don't like that word helper. Well, would you like it if it was used for God? Because that's what Exodus 18 and verse 4 says, the God of my father was my helper, and he delivered me from Pharaoh's sword. Same word used for the woman. And again, in Deuteronomy 33 and verse 7, and this he said of Judah, hear, O Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him into his people. With your hands contend for him, and be a help against his adversaries. Same word again. In 1 Samuel 7 and verse 12, then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen, and called its name Ebenezer. We sing a song, here I raise my Ebenezer. What do we mean? This is my stone of help, is what it's called. Till now the Lord has helped us. This represented what God had done for Israel, and that's why they called it that. Now, in each of those passages, God is called the helper, from the same Hebrew word. So we know that being a helper is not derogatory. Being a helper does not mean that the person is lesser than the man, or God is not lesser. As you see in these passages, being a helper does not mean the person is less valuable. In fact, the Lord is praised in each of these instances because He is the one who is doing the helping. He is the helper. And God being the helper means that He has done for us what we cannot do for ourselves. It's important that man and woman sees this. This is the point of Genesis when God said that the woman was made to be the man's helper. She is not lesser, she is not less valuable, she is not inferior. She simply has a different role. She is doing for the man what he cannot do for himself. And this is why she is the answer to the problem that God declared in verse 18. None of these animals that were brought before Adam was the perfect complement for him. It is not good for man to be alone. God established this a long time ago at the very beginning. But another man cannot solve this. God is clearly showing that homosexuality is against God's design for humans. The animals cannot solve this. The animals cannot be the complement to him, and another man cannot be the complement to him. The animals cannot be his partner. Another man cannot be his partner. The animals, other men, these are not compatible. They're not suitable, but the woman is. She solves what the man could not solve. So, in Genesis 2 and verse 21, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. And the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of the man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." This is how God solved the problem. There is a difference, and oh, what a beauty there is in that difference. I hope we can see that God has made it beautiful that we are different. Men and woman were made, or man and woman rather, or men and women were made with different purposes. They were made for different roles. We're going to get into this a little bit more in our next lesson, but before we can do that, we need to deal with a couple of issues that come up when talking about the differences between men and women. I want to begin with this thought, a thought which is entirely false that's present in the world today. Ask it in the form of a question. Why does our culture tell us that a woman must be able to do what a man can do and a man must be able to do what a woman is able to do? Why? All kinds of scientific studies have been done which have revealed again and again that we are born different exactly as God said from the very beginning. It is not our environment or our nurturing that makes us a man or a woman. Men and women are born different. We should know this just by looking at each other. We don't need to be going around this world like a bunch of brainless wonders, as Grandpa used to say, and not be able to detect the difference. The problem is we're just not satisfied with the way God made things, so we think it's in our power to change it. And that's where all of this comes from. We know this by looking at each other, by listening to each other, talking to each other. We understand very quickly that we are different, and it goes far beyond reproductive organs. We are different in the way that we use our brains, the way that we use our bodies, and so on. We are different in hormonal and chemical makeup. We're different in how we handle relationships one with another. We're different in our emotional reactions. We're different in our behaviors. We know this from marriage. This is the reason why there are thousands and thousands of self-help books out there on the market. If we were the same, it would be so much easier to figure each other out, but we're not the same. Men understand men and women understand women, but men and women struggle with understanding each other. We also know this from all of the scientific and psychological studies that have been done in the last few decades. More importantly, we know this because God said so. We know it from the scriptures. God did not create two males. He created them male and female. The two are different. If God had created two males, there wouldn't have been any more. It's just that simple. Culture says that women can do anything men can do, and men can do anything that women can do. How stupid a statement is that? Think. People need to understand, let's end this nonsense thinking right now. Men cannot breastfeed. Men cannot give birth. Does this mean that men are lesser human beings or that they're inferior to women because we can't give birth or whatever? No. It has nothing to do with that. The whole point is the glory of our differences and how wonderful it is that God made man that way. And men and women, I think, can quickly agree that women were made physically, mentally, and emotionally for childbearing, for nurturing, for raising children. This is where they excel. And that's so because that's the way God made it. You know, somehow after all of the pain that the woman goes through in childbirth, she turns right around and says, I want another child. I don't understand that. I think once would be plenty for me. But I'll tell you what, if I have one sleepless night from a newborn, I'm ready to never have any more kids. Now for some, it might take a diaper change. But I'll guarantee you, we are wired differently. My wife's definition of the children being ready is that they're dressed, they look nice, their hair is combed, their teeth are brushed, and so on. And she marches them out like little soldiers, you know, all dressed up, and whether it's boys or girls. This is what women do. My definition of the kids being ready to go is they're still breathing, aren't we ready yet? God made her different so she could do things that men couldn't do. And vice versa. We're biologically different. There are things that women can do that men simply cannot do. And there are things that women can do that men cannot. That is not a slight against our genders. God made us specifically to do things that the other cannot do. And we should be able to recognize this. God made us different. And the goal is not being able to do what the other person does. Why do we think that? I think that this has been a tremendous failure in the thinking of our culture for the past few decades. Not only can we not do what each other can do, we should not want to do what each other can do. It is a problem of simply ignoring our different roles in the world today. But here's what happens when we do not appreciate these differences. Recently there was an article about the problem of the lack of girl action heroes. It went on to say, our girls deserve action heroes with flowing hair and combat boots. Our girls deserve to see themselves on screen as well as calling the shots behind the scenes. Here's the issue that the woman who wrote this article is missing, and our culture is missing. Men are wired to protect women and children. There's a great deal of difference in that. When a gunman went into a movie theater in Aurora, Colorado, two young men protected their girlfriends, not their wives, with their own bodies, and they took the bullets instead of them, and they died. Our society praised those young men, and rightfully so. That's not chauvinism. If there's a strange sound in my house in the middle of the night, I don't roll over and punch my wife and say, why don't you get up and go check that out? See what it is. The man gets up and he checks it out. The man protects. Now, I hope this woman is not saying that they want their men to tell women to put on combat boots and be the hero whenever danger comes. Because that's not the way you're wired. But in our culture, we are erasing something that is very valuable. And it is this fact that this is the way God created men. And a good example of putting women and children first, that's no longer the proverb, was what happened in 2012 when the Italian cruise ship Costa Concordia ran aground and sank. You may remember that. It was all over the news. Ships laying on its side. There were several accounts of men pushing past women and children to get to the lifeboats, completely opposite of what happened when the Titanic sank 103 years ago. People were rightly angry at this display. But there are a couple of magazines, one called Slate, another called Jezebel. They declared, "And there's no real reason why ladies should get first crack at fleeing a sinking ship." Although grown-ups probably should help children who are smaller and less able to evacuate on their own, true, the Costa Concordia evacuation process sounds like it could have been a lot more orderly. And all things being equal, there's nothing wrong with opening a door for somebody if you feel like it or pulling out a chair. But when we're talking about a crash that killed at least 11 people, chivalry shouldn't be at the top of our list of concerns. That's the article for you. We don't appreciate our differences. So many people today have no real concept of what it means to be a man or a woman. Sexism cannot be that we have different roles or recognizing that men and women have differences. Sexism is saying that the worth of men and women are different because of their differences. The goal is not for men and women to compete with each other. That's not what this is about. They were made to work together. They fit together, and each are supposed to be using their strength to complete that relationship. So don't erase the differences. Glorify the differences. We sin when we suggest that men going to work and providing for the family is lesser or greater than women caring for and nurturing the children. Neither are lesser or greater. Men and women and their corresponding differences are made in the image of God. They were made to do these different tasks. Society's goal, however, seems to be that we need to make women into men and men into women, and make them all so that they're just alike. We need men to be men, and we need women to be women as God defined them in these roles here in the Scriptures. We cannot reject the purposes and the roles that God has given man and woman. Being a man is good. Being a woman is good. Not a thing wrong with that. Neither are to desire being the better of the other, because neither is superior. Now, as we think back, as I said, in the image of God, but it is the rest of that sentence that changes everything in chapter 1 and verse 27. Male and female, he created them. There's just no way around that, folks. You were made in the image of God. So what does it mean? What does it mean? Well, it means simply this, for a couple of things to think about. It means we're different than the animals. And just because we act like monkeys every now and then doesn't mean we're the same. Not only that, we have an identity. We should know who we are. We have a purpose here in this world. And that purpose is defined here in Colossians 3, as we said last week. But now you must put them all away, things like anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you've put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. After the image of its creator. Being made in the image of God is what he's talking about here. And when we live the way Paul is writing to these Colossians that we're supposed to live, we are declaring the image of God to those who will listen. Think about what God said. Male and female, He created them. Why did God say that? Why did Genesis state the obvious? You'll notice the animals are not described as being male and female, though clearly they are, so they can reproduce. Why is Genesis emphasizing this distinction that God made them male and female? Because there is a difference. And because we have the purpose that God designed us for. We are different than the animals. And we are different by God's design. Made in the image of God. And with this knowledge, we can cut through the confusion about who we are and why we've been put here on this earth by the Lord. We are not to try to transform ourselves into what we think we should be, but into what God has called us to be. Gender is part of who you are. You were wired and made in a particular way if you're a man or if you're a woman. And that cannot be changed. Gender distinction is something that God wants us to celebrate, not regret or deny, because we've been made in His image. God made men to be men, and He made women to be women. And He gave us tasks here upon this earth. He gave us a purpose. So the question is, we are here that we can show God to the world around us. Is that what we're doing? That's not what we're doing whenever we act like so many in this generation that simply refuse to pay attention to who they are, the way that God made them, and they want to change all that. They want to change the roles for men and women. They want to give them a totally different purpose. They just want to satisfy their own desires. And so, as we learned this morning in Bible class, they speak all of these great swelling words about how it's so much better if you do this or do that. God said it, and He had it right from the very beginning. We ought to just accept what God said. Because the thing we keep finding out over and over and over again is, this is the way it is. God made us, and this is the way it is. And He gave us a purpose here in this world. I hope that you recognize that that purpose has to do with your physical makeup and being here in this world. In the spiritual aspects of things, as Paul said, there is neither male nor female. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. He's talking about in relation to the matter of salvation. Individuals, male or female, can come to God with hearts that trust Him in what He has said, wanting to know more about their salvation, and God will tell them. It's all written down in His work. They need to understand that they need to repent of their sins. They need to be baptized into Christ Jesus. Once they recognize God as their Creator and as the one who has the right to rule in their lives, this is what they do. And then, as they rise to walk in this new life, it doesn't change the fact that they're still male and female, but they bring glory and honor to God in each one of those roles that they have in this world today. It's those people that live like that and appreciate how God made them and appreciate the design that God put into all of this and what He wanted men and women to accomplish here on this earth. These are the ones that love God and are striving to do what God wants them to do. These are the ones that bring sunshine into the lives of so many other people and can help them tremendously. But people just have to learn to pay attention to what God says. And I hope that you're willing to do that today, because if your life is not right with God, do something about it. There's help in God's Word. Eternal life awaits for those who will come to Him. Would you come as we stand? and as we sing.